Hey, this is Melanie Naumann and herzlich willkommen. Welcome to the Stories and Songs podcast. Today, you're in for another bite-sized episode to talk about a songwriter's six best friends. You might have already heard about that term, songwriter's six best friends, in the book Writing Better Lyrics by Pat Pedersen or in one of his courses. But today, we want to make his concept more practical. We want to use a specific model that will help us visualize our six best friends. At the end of today's episode, you'll be much clearer in how you can put your six best friends to use without wondering how it might all fit together. You'll get the glue delivered in this episode. And I promise you, you don't have to call them up anymore. Your six best friends will come on their own once you use the following model that we talk about today. Make sure to also check out the show notes. I'll have a little cheat sheet prepared for you that you can download. So let's go. So the big question is this. How do singer-songwriters who want to keep writing their own lyrics and stay true to who they are without taking on an image the industry wants them to and who believe their songs have a greater purpose, how do they write lyrics in a way to help them stand out from the crowd yet still reach a larger audience and get skyrocketing sales? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Melanie Naumann, and welcome to the Stories and Songs podcast. Now, whenever you start exploring an idea, you have to answer some essential questions to get a clear picture of what kind of scenario you want to communicate to your listeners. That means you'll have to call up your six best friends. And your six best friends are who, what, when, where, why, and how. You might say, duh, I know that. Well, then that's great. After all, those questions are the basics of writing, either if it's an article for a newspaper or an essay or, of course, a story. You should always answer those questions in your text to give your audience the context and the content of what's going on. Who does something? Who acts? Who is talking? And to whom? What happens? When does it happen? Where does it happen? Why does it happen? And how does it happen? Now let's go through those questions to find out what each of them means for your lyric writing. Let's start with the question, who? The question refers to the characters in your song. Specifically, you want to answer who is talking and to whom. So you need to know what role the singer of the song will take on. Will they be just a narrator of someone else's story or the hero of their own story? Will they lead a monologue or will they be talking to someone else? This question of who is talking and to whom is closely connected with the point of view. We'll talk about point of view in songwriting in another episode, but let's quickly run through them so that you know your options. In general, point of view defines the relationship between the singer and the audience, and so it controls our distance from the world of the song. That means the most intimate relationship between the audience and the singer is when we use direct address. In direct address, second-person pronouns are mixed with first-person pronouns to produce a contact between I and you. This point of view is all about feelings and not facts. So the who is I, and I am talking to you, like in this podcast. Then there's second-person narrative as a possible point of view. Sometimes you can be used as a substitute for first-person. Here, there's this kind of sense of intimacy, although the word I or me or us or we or any of the first-person pronouns are never going to be stated. It's only you and maybe a third-person pronoun. Then there's first-person POV, point of view. Here, the singer as character or storyteller is right in front of the audience. We feel like we know him, and the singer or the I participates in the action, revealing things about themselves. So the who is I, the singer, and they are talking directly to the audience about other people and events. So the audience is an observer to the rest of the song's world. Here we have first-person pronouns mixed with third-person pronouns, but there's no you, no second-person pronouns. And lastly, we have third-person as a possible point of view. Here, the singer acts as a storyteller who simply directs the audience's attention to an objective world neither the singer nor the audience is a part of. This point of view is the most objective. It's all about facts and not feelings. So point of view helps us to answer the question of who is talking to whom. Now, another friend of ours is the question, what? We feel like we need to express something when we start writing a song, right? There's something that we have to say, and the song will be a vehicle to express that feeling, to express that idea. So what are you singing about in your song? This one matters a lot, right? You gotta actually have something happening in your song. You gotta know what's going on. Listen to episode 23 of the Stories and Songs podcast. Here, we talk about universal human values. They help you find topics to write about so that you always know your possibilities when it comes to what you want to write about. That means, do you want to write about something along the lines of love and hate, about life and death? Maybe it's important to you that justice is served and someone is punished for their crimes. Maybe you want to express how some people sell out and betray their values while others hold on to them. Or you want to write about honor and dishonor, or freedom and subjugation. Many, many possibilities. And asking yourself what you want to write about will help you figure this out. Now, you also should know, when is your narrative happening and for how long? Will it span from the past to the present and to the future? Or will it be about a single moment in time? And when is that exactly? Is it in the morning when the world wakes up, roosters crow, or the traffic in the city gets louder? But when exactly is it in the morning? Is it at 2 a.m.? Then it might be a phone conversation between your song's characters. Or is it only him leaving a voice message? Or is it when they wake up together? Or, surprisingly, they wake up alone? Is it a winter afternoon when the sun sets early and it's cold outside? And it's the season where everything comes to an end before a new cycle starts? Or is it in the summer? It's hot and there's passion and there's love under the stars. Or maybe it's in fall, when everything slows down and everything starts falling to pieces. Everything just withers away. When could also be in a distant or not so distant past, combined with a season that either creates a metaphor to the character's internal state, or it creates an ironic distance. When could also be a special occasion. Is it on Valentine's Day, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Halloween, someone else's wedding day, or a funeral? You can draw from that background information emotionally. So never push when to the side. It's really important to get into the song's emotion. Now the next question is, or your next friend, your next buddy, is where is your narrative happening? You're free to go anywhere you'd like. Is it on vacation on the Caribbean islands? Is it in a prison? Or the place the couple shared their first kiss, like in Kiss Me Slowly by Parachute? Is it a hotel room or under a bridge? Is it in the outback on top of a mountain or in an opera house? Or maybe your character is just walking down the street, like in Boulevard of Broken Dreams by Green Day. All those different places create different settings to the surroundings of where your characters are. You gotta know where you place them to be able to step into their shoes and see the event unfold through their eyes. Do they meet their past love at the reception desk of a divorce lawyer? Or do they spot that person across the street? The way you place your characters will give you great insights into the scene you're trying to create. Just think of the entire album The Black Parade by My Chemical Romance. The main setting that they used for that album was a character lying in a hospital bed, dying. So that's a great scene, a great starting point to go from there and explore all the options they still have by knowing that character is in a hospital bed. Furthermore, you also need to know, why is your song's character talking about that event or talking to someone? What's the cause for all the fuss? And you should also know how to tie the plot together. We'll talk more about the why and how in later episodes. After all, they refer to the message of your song's story, the takeaway for the listener. So there must be a higher reason for why that character is caught in a specific moment or tells someone about it or about their life. So no worries, we'll cover those two questions in detail another time, but we will also get to them again in this episode. So just stay with me. So all in all, your six best friends are who's talking to whom, what do you have to say, why are you saying it, why do you want to tell this, when is it happening, where is it happening, and how does it all come together? Those are our six best friends, as Pat Pattison has called them. But as promised, there's a great way to put those questions into practice so that we are able to better visualize the little story we want to tell in our lyrics. And to achieve that, let's use the concept of the diorama model. The diorama model was first introduced to me by my mentor Sean Coyne, the creator of the Story Grid, more specifically at the Story Grid Trinity seminar he held in 2021. This concept is so amazing. It will boost your creative flow whenever you sit down to start writing the lyrics for a new song. And the best thing of all, it's so easy. I bet it will come natural to you. And you can use that concept even before you start wondering about your six best friends. If you use that concept, they'll come to you without you having to call them up. All you have to keep in mind is that there are three essential pieces that you need to think about when you are planning to outline your idea. It's context, content, and interactions. Or if you're a fan of alliterations, context, content, and conflict. And here's what you need to do. Imagine you have to create a diorama. Remember, a diorama is the three-dimensional model some of us had to create in school. Now you don't need to get out your craft supplies, I promise. Just think about what you would have to do if I'd hand you a blank diorama right now, and you should use it to show me what your next song will be about. So where would you start? What's the first logical step you gotta do to put that diorama model to use to be able to present your song's story or story moment? Well, first, you would color the diorama and paint it to create the setting. That means you would want to describe the world to give your audience all the relevant information, but not every detail. With your colors, you would set the mood for what's to come. You create the context, the alternate world. That means you would visually answer the questions when and where your song's narrative takes place. After you have created the alternate world of your story, its context, you have to fill your painted world with avatars or characters. That's answering the question of who will interact in the alternate world you've created. That means, who will be your narrator or main character on stage of your diorama? And to whom will he or she be talking to? Will they be talking to themselves, to someone particular, their first or second party, or to the audience? That's their third party. So step two helps you create the content. Now that you know the context and the content on the diorama screen, you can start envisioning the kind of audience that would be attracted to this world and these kinds of characters interacting in this world. So who is your targeted audience? For whom are you writing this song? It's always a great idea to keep in mind who will benefit from listening to this particular story or narrative. This way, you can make sure that you keep the narrative promise and deliver on the audience's expectations by delivering a message worth communicating. And the way to do this is by the last step. The third step is about the what, why, and how. You need to engage your avatars, your characters, in interactions such that you can hold the attention of the audience. That means, first, you must excite your audience through the actions of your characters so that the audience can see what is happening. And then you have to intrigue the audience by raising a question in their minds. That question can also be named why. Why are you showing this particular interaction or conflict? Why are the characters doing that? Why do they have to face that challenge? Why is that important? And if you integrate those transmissions well, you will enlighten your listeners with a signal truth that you, as the artist, intends to move from your mind to the audience's by the song's end. And thus, answering the question of how does it all come together. So whenever you want to write some lyrics, picture a blank diorama in your mind. Then first, you paint the diorama to create the setting. Your friends, when and where, will come to help you. Then you will fill that stage with life. So who will be interacting with whom? And lastly, you think about the interactions that will take place. What is happening so that we can literally watch as the characters interact with each other? What is going on? And we are curious to find out why that interaction is happening, or that conflict is there between the characters, or a conflict or a problem one of the characters has to face. And when we get those questions answered, we'll see how it all fits together. Now, you might be wondering if you have to stick to one diorama per song, or if you can use multiple dioramas in your song. Say, maybe the verses have their own kind of setting and so does the chorus or the bridge. Well, there's no right or wrong answer. For example, if you write about one particular moment in time, for example, like Crazy for You by Madonna, where it's all about meeting someone hot on the dance floor, then you'll probably stay in that one diorama all through your song. But let's say you write a song where every verse is set in a different time. Let's say you start out in the past, move to the present, and then to some wishful future thinking. Or the characters stay at the same place, but the seasons change. Then the setting or the place where the character is might be changing too. If you change it, make sure it makes sense and supports what you're trying to say. For example, if I start a song with a memory of boys doing mischief after summer school, and I switch to the present moment where one of them sits in jail because they kept breaking the law, then that's a great contrast that also supports the message of the song. If you are ever in doubt, look at it this way. Each diorama can be one piece of the story you tell in your lyrics, but your entire story can also stay on one single set, on one diorama. It all depends on what you're trying to communicate and what you want to let your audience see. Now, before we sign off, just a reminder, you can go to the show notes and download your free cheat sheet to always have your six best friends at hand and the concept of the diorama model. So just check out the show notes to episode 25 of the Stories and Songs podcast and you can download your cheat sheet. I hope the diorama model approach is helpful for you to picture the story you want to write about in your lyrics. If you like this episode, please subscribe and send a review. In the next episode, we'll talk about Pat Pattison's development engine. And again, we'll use another great storytelling tool to find out how we can actually tell a great working story through Pattison's concept of the three boxes.